Hello and welcome to another episode of The Clippers Beat. It is Wednesday and I have the great pleasure of welcoming on Miriam Swanson. And she was there for the Clippers 128-103 win over the Cavaliers last night. Miriam, how are you and how was the game last night?
I'm good. The game was good. It was, I mean, if you're a Clipper fan, the game was good. Yeah, I feel bad for Cleveland, who kind of didn't have the most successful trip here or visit to LA. But I guess I don't feel that bad. But they're probably ready to get out of here.
Yeah. I guess in terms of the recent stretch of Clippers performances we've seen put together, it seems like this team hasn't really been itself since December. They're 8-6 over the last 14 games. The energy is there some quarters. It's not there other quarters. Did it seem consistent throughout all four periods last night?
Yeah, I think so. I think it sounds, you know, from talking to Landry and Zubats and some of the other guys that you know, this has been a topic that they're aware, the Clipper fans, that they've been sort of uneven. So they made a big point of sort of wanting to come in with an aggressive mindset and kind of play well from the jump and have good energy. And as Landry Shamet put, a good spirit from the jump. And I think they achieved that yesterday. And you could say, oh, but, you know, it's just against Cleveland and Cleveland's not good. But as the Clippers have shown, they have struggled against some other teams who are not that good. So anytime you could do that, I think that's probably a healthy, productive thing to happen. And that they could hopefully take forward and keep doing what they do.
Of course. And speaking of that energy, Kawhi Leonard, 43 points in, I believe, 29 minutes. He shot over 63%, I think, from the field. Yeah. What struck you about his performance last night?
Just how crazy efficient. I mean, it was like Kawhi at his most Kawhi, right? Like just no wasted movement, no wasted opportunity. And it just happened. He just kind of went for the kill, and as he can do when he wants, you know, when he has that gear to be, you know, wasn't in the fourth quarter this time. It was just, he came out like that. And, you know, and it, as Pat mentioned, that it helped. He thought that Pat Bev, that, you know, he hit a couple threes early and Shamet hit a couple, and that kind of loosened things up. And Zubats was, you know, so effective in the post. So it wasn't like the Cavs could completely ignore everyone else and just like load up on Kawhi. So he kind of had some freedom to operate. And he was pretty good in that case.
He's all right. He's all right. Now,
he's all right.
What struck me about Kawhi is what he's saying after the games now, right? The theme of what he was talking about last night, particularly, like, hey, you know, we got to just remember to have fun and enjoy the journey. This is a long process that's building. In the bigger picture, do you see Kawhi becoming more of a vocal leader?
The thing that Doc kept saying, and a few of the other guys, like when Kawhi first arrived, everyone's, you know, what's Kawhi like? And they said, you know, everybody was like, he talks, he actually talks.
Believe it or not.
And still, he doesn't talk a whole lot with us out in the media. Mm-hmm. He's not long-winded by any stretch, but he's a student, and he says what he means and what he's thinking, and he's straightforward, but, you know, he's clear in his messaging. So I think obviously when you're a player like that with his experiences and his championship pedigree and his talent, and none of that comes without, you know, the work and the determination and dedication. So I think he obviously is a huge leader on the team. But I personally, like, I sort of asked him like yesterday, what, you know, cause he's very consistent with us in the press as far as, you know, this is a process. This is a journey. Like, we can't skip steps. So I was, you know, like, is this something you just tell us, or is this like something you're preaching to your guys too? And he said it was. But I would love to know, like, what it sounds like on the inside, like what that message sounds like coming from Kawhi to the rest of the Clippers.
It's really hard to imagine him having a rapport with someone like Pat Beverly and Lou Williams, right? Not saying that it's not there. It's just really hard to imagine it because we see so little from the outside. But that was a great question on your part, because it's like, yeah, it's easy to have that speak to the media, but is that dialogue expressed?
Like, I don't want to know what it sounds like. Yeah. What is, because I'm sure it sounds different.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure. You know, because you can see, like, sometimes you'll see Kawhi, like, joking with the guys, or with Sam Cassell or whatever. So I'm sure, but we're not necessarily privy to that, which is fine, because that's their realm. But I definitely would love to, like, you know.
Exactly. Kind of to be a fly on the wall. Like. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
you mentioned Zoo a little bit in his play. A lot of talk has been made about the minutes of the Clippers' center rotation and how they're split between Trez and Zoo. Where do you see a solution in that center conundrum as it stands?
Well, I mean, Zoo has clearly earned as much playing time as he can get. I mean, he's been fantastic this year. But Doc doesn't seem super keen. He said that they've thought about doing it and they could do it, but he obviously hasn't done it. They don't seem super keen on playing Trez and Zoo together. And I can kind of understand that, because, you know, their spacing gets, you know, wonky.
Clunky,
then and, you know, it doesn't really fit what they do otherwise. But Trez is such a force himself, and he brings, like, this, you know, him and Patrick Beverly bring an energy that is very important. And then Lou and Trez together are just, you know, magical, and clearly, you know, go back to last year's Golden State series. Like, they can do really impressive things, those two. I mean, Trez is undersized, but he's, you know, it's not like he can't, you know, be effective at the rim. But Zoo has been just, you know, a beast as far as the rim protection goes and defensively. And his rapport with Kawhi is so evident. I think if anyone built up chemistry on the floor quickest with Kawhi, it seems like Zubats. I mean, those two, like, he's just constantly getting, you know, feeds from Kawhi and helping Kawhi, you know, setting some pretty fantastic screens to get Kawhi going. So, and rebounding too. Like, I don't know, Zoo's been great. And the thing about Zoo that everyone will rave about is just, you know, that he's so coachable and he's so willing to do the role that, you know, whatever role is set out for him. So, it's, you know, while the world around him is kind of crying out that he needs more minutes, he's been, you know, pretty good with the opportunity that he has. And I think he realizes where he is and that he has a long future ahead of him with the Clippers probably. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He's been great.
Yeah, and the best thing is that he's taking advantage of the time that Doc does give him. So I agree with you on that. Do you think, I know the Clippers front office has been pretty mum and not a whole lot has trickled out in terms of trade rumors and anything like that. Do you anticipate this team, this franchise, making any moves with the trade deadline just about a month away or a little over a month away? A month away.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's the Clippers, so I'll never say no.
yeah, right.
And like, and if it happens, it will happen like at 1 a.m.
Of course. it's like, but, yeah.
So part of me is like, you know, they put together this team, and this team is kind of built for the playoffs. And this team, you know, like, in a lot of ways, you go like, okay, this is a pretty. I mean, look what they did to the Lakers, you know, there's such a problem for the Lakers. And they haven't really been together. They've played one game as with the full roster, and
incredible.
PG has played so few together. So it's kind of, you know, they keep saying we're looking for this continuity and we're still trying to find ourselves. And it feels like, you know, if you move too many pieces right now, like you're really going to jack up their continuity, and you won't ever even know what you built in the first place. that said, you know, I mean, there's, you know, the world at large seems to think that they need to, there is a thought that they need more at center. I don't really ascribe to that. I think that, you know, the Zoo and Trez, I forget the exact stats right now. I probably should look this up before you called me. But they're in the top 10 for both scoring. They're third in the league as a scoring, or the Clippers are getting third most points out of their centers, and they're seventh in the league at points in the paint allowed. So, I mean, I don't think it's as bad as, you know, somebody looks and says, oh, gosh, you know, like, yeah, I think they're fine down there. And I think Trez is so important to the team, so I have a hard time thinking they're going to give him up. Even though, you know, he's a free agent and they could lose him going forward, it just seems like that would be a big piece to move off of what could be a championship team. Doc has mentioned and keeps mentioning any chance he gets that, you know, the Clippers don't have a facilitator and they don't have a bit of true point guard. And I wonder if he kind of wants one. But that said, I don't know if they need one, because Kawhi and PG are pretty capable of playmaking. And Lou, when he's on the court, is pretty capable of playmaking. Of course, Lou worked pretty well with Shea last year at point guard, playing point guard. So I don't know. We'll see. Those would be two spots I think they might look at.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Doc does not waste any opportunity to remind us that they don't have a true point guard.
Yeah, I think it's like been every media availability for like 2 weeks.
That and the fact that they haven't practiced together. You know, it's like those two things. I agree with you, though, because it's like if you do make moves, you don't really give yourself the opportunity to see what you really built. I love that point from you. And if there's one message to continue off what we've heard from Doc again and again and again, it's that these guys are preaching patience and time together and figuring things out. Mm-hmm. And I don't really, do you know what that looks like when they do figure things out? Can you remember a certain point in this season when you're like, oh my gosh, like if this is the Clippers team night in, night out, every four quarters of a game, they're unstoppable.
Well, they could just play the Lakers every game. Then, and it's not that they were unstoppable against the Lakers, but that felt like high level Clippers basketball.
Yeah.
You know, like where everyone was, you know, on Patrick Beverly's level intensity wise. And Kawhi was cool. I mean, Paul George didn't play the first game and he didn't have a great game on Christmas. But his presence out there is still felt, you know, so, and he's always, you know, and he's such a good defender that, you know, he doesn't have to score to make an impact. Those have been, you know, I mean, they had their game against Boston a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, came back and kind of felt like, you know, everyone coming in was like, okay, so we have last year's Clippers, but you add Kawhi and Paul, and you're going to be amazing, you know? And so that was the game that sort of felt like that, because they were down, they came back, they were scrappy. They really were like, no, we're not losing this effing game. And that's how it played out. Those moments kind of really stand out. But otherwise, yeah, it has, I mean, yeah, it takes an adjustment to learn how to play with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, because they are really kind of dominant, you know, usage wise and special and obviously should be, but you still, you have to learn how to do that.
It was interesting. We saw a poll out on Twitter from our good friends over at the Locked On Clippers podcast. And the poll was, are you having fun watching the Clippers play this season? And it was pretty much almost split yes and no. And that I think to me, kind of resonates with the whole point of expectations and how much fun you glean from watching a team. Because when the expectations are low and teams like the Thunder, for example, surpass what you're watching, then it's fun. Then all of a sudden you're like, wow, we're playing with house money. And now all of a sudden, and maybe last year's Clippers, right, too, the scrappy underdogs. Yeah. And this year it's like they're heightened. The rhythm isn't there, and all of a sudden those expectations turn into pressure and the fun is kind of pushed aside.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What now, you mentioned if only the Lakers could play the Clippers every night. Now, I know there's one person in LA who would benefit no matter what the outcome of those games. And Miriam, that's your 6-year-old son. You gotta tell us about him.
Yeah, so I have a little boy named Arthur who is has discovered basketball finally. But you know, his mom covers basketball. So but he is, quote, a double fan. And by that he means he is both a Lakers and Clippers fan, which people around him are telling him is not a thing.
Arthur, don't let anyone tell you otherwise, Arthur.
He is a very, very stubborn young man, and he is determined. So his Christmas, what he wanted for Christmas was a Paul George jersey and a LeBron James jersey. So that's what he got. And depending on who's playing that day, that's the jersey he wears to school.
love that.
Yeah, so he's super into it. So yeah. So, the other day, we saw Paul, you know, he was looking at Twitter, or looking at Twitter, and he saw that I had like talked to Paul George because there was like a video or something, and he was like, wait, you talked? I was like, yeah, that's what mommy does. And he was just like, no, I was like, no, you cannot be a journalist.
Oh my God. So yeah, what's that process been for him as he understands what you do in relation to his two favorite teams?
I think that was the moment he actually like realized it was pretty funny. But now he's just like, yeah. I don't know. It makes it acceptable that I'm not there watching a basketball game.
And what made him want a Paul George jersey over a Kawhi Leonard jersey?
It went back and forth. We sat down and we kind of looked at highlights and we decided that Paul George was really smooth.
Yeah.
Cool.
PG is smooth. That is totally respectable. And Arthur sounds like he's got a good basketball head on his shoulders. And you know what? He can't lose as a fan either way, because he's got great basketball pretty much every night of the year.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, yeah, maybe more people in LA should be like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
That's probably just not a thing. Yeah. I don't know if that can happen.
Hey.
We got one.
Take a page from Arthur's book. Miriam, yeah. I wanted to also talk to you. Ramona Shelburne put out a long ESPN cover story piece today, a great one on Paul George's return home. Was there anything new that you learned in reading that? I got kind of the general gist of his return home and his relationship with his mother. What did you take away from that piece?
I guess the most interesting little nugget in it to me was that Kawhi and Paul George were talking about, you know, potentially coming to the Clippers together at Drake's house.
That is insane!
Which is, like, too funny, because I doubt that Drake would have, like, you know, I don't know how Drake would feel about facilitating that, yeah, that's pretty funny.
It was incredible. I was thinking about that. I was like, so how does this play now that it's public knowledge with Toronto fans? Does this make Drake a Clippers fan? Like, what is going on here? The world as we know is like, shook.
Yeah. It's a whole nother level to the Drake curse, I guess.
Absolutely. Now, Miriam, I know we've got a stretch coming ahead where the Clippers face the Lakers one more time on January 28th. We've got All-Star weekend coming up. Would you peg both Paul and Kawhi as All-Stars?
I wonder, Kawhi for sure. Mm-hmm. I would assume PG. I'm sure the Clippers want PG there. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how long his hamstring takes to heal.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, like, Paul George is an all-star. Like, he's a superstar in the league. But if you miss so much, like, if he misses almost half of the first half of the season, I don't know. Like, I wonder what that effect that might have. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think the biggest thing this team, if you're taking over Doc's role for a day, and you can write one message on the whiteboard of what this team needs to get together to put together some solid play night in, night out, what are you prioritizing?
My prior, I just say do whatever Pat Bev tells you to do. Just go as Pat goes.
Hey, I apply that mantra every morning when I get out of bed. What would Pat Beverly do?
I wish I had that energy. I think you're in good hands if you go with Pat Bev. But otherwise, I also Kawhi's mantra where, you know, it's, you know, or Landry Shamit's hashtag never cheated. The idea that you can't skip steps and, you know, and it's interesting because across town, the Lakers have a new situation too, and lots of new players and a whole new coaching staff. And they clearly have hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might feel frustrating for Clipper fans and maybe the Clippers to still be, you know, quote, figuring it out. But that's probably like a normal thing, or it is in fact a normal thing for it to, you know, to happen. And I mean, we were talking about Mo Harkless yesterday, and he spent 4 seasons in Portland, and you know, that team chemistry is a really real thing. And he, you know, it took a few years for them to get as good as they got. So I think, you know, patience will pay off for sure for the Clippers. And
yeah, patience will prevail. Kawhi did it last season, you know, and it, mm-hmm. I get exactly what you're saying. There's plenty of evidence of teams where it takes time to figure things out. So completely agree with you on that one. Now, Miriam, you do excellent work for the OC Register, and you've got so many teams you cover, from the Lakers to the WNBA to the, you know, and now of course the Clippers. What are you working on? What should fans keep an eye out for, and where can they find your work?
You find my work at ocregister.com sports for Clippers, or I don't know, search from there, or just come to, or you know, I'll tweet out links and stuff on Twitter. I'm at Miriam Swanson. I'm trying to work on do some reporting on this new WNBA CBA for sure. Curious to see how it affects kind of the quote unquote middle class of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'm keeping up with the Clippers and with the Lakers, and but my priority is the Clippers, and it's definitely been an interesting season. So we'll see where it goes from here. I'm sure it's going to be interesting on the way through.
Absolutely. And no matter what, you're making Arthur proud. But Miriam, you have excellent work as always. Fans, you can follow her on Twitter. Once again, her handle is at MIRJAM Swanson, SWANSON. Miriam, thank you so much for hopping on. We look forward to keeping up with everything that you put out there over the next couple of months. It's going to be an exciting season in LA. And once again, for everyone listening, thanks for tuning into the Clippers Beat podcast. You can find this pod wherever you get your pods at, or at clnsmedia.com.